or when I'm trying to get somebody that's really hard-headed to understand someone else's point of view, is I'll say, well, put yourself in their shoes. Now, before I really get started, I try to think about what could be a distraction. Is anybody cold here? If you're cold, you need to raise your hand. Okay. That's one of the number one church complaints in whatever church you're going to go to is, I was too cold or I was too hot. I'm quitting the church because them awful people have it too cold in here. I've heard that. But anyways, I have said before many, many times, well, put yourself in someone else's shoes so you can understand how they feel. You know, many times people do things that we don't understand. And a lot of times, I mean, I'm on the end of that and I'm thinking, why did that person do that? Or how did they get that to that point in their life? And I'm a pretty empathetic person. And many, many times, Angie, just in being able to put myself in someone else's shoes, I can understand them a little bit better. And I have been praying about a few different things very, very hard. I've told my husband, I've said, you know, there's just certain things, and I began to name them to him, that I'm just going to cover and saturate them in a lot of prayer, because unless God makes a move, then there's certain things that just aren't going to turn out right. But I trust God, and because I trust God, we're just going to cover this with prayer. And one of the things that God has inspired me and helped me to understand is being in the devil's shoes. Now, that's not something that you're going to hear in church a whole lot, but, you know, go with me to John chapter 10, and we're going to look at verse 10. The church at large spends a lot of time focusing on God, as we should, but we need to spend a lot of time focusing on Satan as well. Because the word says that we have an adversary, and he is the devil, and he comes to do certain things. And so what we need to do is we need to, as much as we study how God is and the way that God moves and the way that God moves in our life, we need to study how the devil does also. You know, God has a characteristic about him. He has a reputation, a demeanor, but so does the devil. The devil, he has characteristics about him as well. And we see this in John chapter 10 and verse 10. And it says here, now the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. See, the devil is coming to only do three things. He doesn't have a lot of things that he's doing. At the end of the day, the devil is doing three things. And that's why the word says that the thief comes only. Only. He's not coming to throw you a party. He's not coming to oh, it's going to be cool in hell, we're going to have a party. No, no, it's not. The devil's coming only to do those three things. That's it. And we as believers, we give the devil way too much credit. You know, a lot of times if we stub our toe in the middle of the night because we left our shoes there, I always do that to Frank. For some reason, I like to take my slippers off at the foot of the bed. I don't know why I do it, but that's what I do. And so I'll put them there, and then when he has to get up and go to the bathroom in the middle of the night or something, he'll trip over them. And I know that, but for whatever reason, Tommy, I'm in a habit of putting those slippers there. And the other day, he got them, and he threw them on my side, and he said, these are going on your side. And, you know, if Frank gets up and he starts blaming the devil for those slippers being there, he's in error. Because it's not the devil. It's me. Amen? So we have to be careful who we give credit to for what. But it says here in the Word, now the devil comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now when you can sense that the devil is creeping into a situation or a part of your life, you need to begin to try to recognize what he's out for. The devil's always out for something, but you can better bet it's three categories. Steal from you, kill something about you, and destroy something in your life. Now, I bet you didn't know that the devil likes bling. I started looking. I was like, I'm going to take a mixture of shoes that I have. And then I was like, my goodness, I am a gaudy person. But, you know, let's just say I'm the devil up in your life. And I want to just get really down and dirty with you. And I want to come in and take you through some mud. See, what did David said? He said, God lifted me up out of the slimy pit that I was up in. And see, the devil had to put his boots on, his rain boots and his mud boots, and he had to get up in there so he could get down and dirty with you in your life. See, the devil, he's only coming to steal from you, to kill, to destroy. And you have to almost try to empathize with the devil. If you were the devil, angel, let me just ask you. Let me get over here with my boots. If you were the devil and you were looking at angel, what is one way the devil could get to you? Exactly. Exactly. See, we need to be thinking, if I was the devil and I was out to get me. See, Jimmy, we have to think like this. If you were the devil and you were looking at Jimmy, what would you try to do to Jimmy? Maybe bring up stuff we done. Bring up people we don't like. Does anybody have anything? Can you look in your life and can you see, if I was the devil, here's what I would be doing to me. Mess with your family. Mess with your thoughts. I know one for me is, if I was the devil, I would get me to just start thinking about what everybody else thinks about me. See, you need to start thinking, if I was the devil, what would I do to me to get me all messed up and up off track? Because the devil is not coming like Jesus to sup with you. He's coming to kill, to steal, and destroy with you. And that's the only thing that he's coming to do. And the word says he only comes to do that. That's the only reason he came to your life. He only comes to do that. So we as the believer, we need to think, if I'm the devil, what am I going to try to pull with me to get me off? How many of you in here, you can say, there is some weaknesses that I have. Does anybody know weaknesses that you got in your life? You got some areas where you're like, okay, I'm really weak in this area. Let me just give you a little piece of advice and a nugget. How many of you like chicken nuggets? Love them things. I'm going to give you a nugget. It's your weaknesses. When you see that you've got a weakness in your life, you need to start building up a hedge of protection. You need to start praying a hedge of protection over that area in your life, because, see, the devil's coming for that. Why? It's because it's a weak spot for you. It's a weak spot for you. I remember when I was a kid, I talked about it this morning, we lived on 10 acres of land. My mom and dad still live there to this day. And when we were a kid, for whatever reason, I'm sure my dad could tell you because he had a logical explanation, but he decided to build a fence. And that fence is still there today. Now, my dad can be a perfectionist. And I remember out there working with him on this fence, and he had the level out and everything. And we worked on this fence for a long time. And I'm going to tell you, where are we going with the fence thing? You need to look at your weaknesses. You need to think about, what do you got up in your life that you could lose your cool over, lose your religion over, lose your morals over? See, because, see, whatever you're going to put yourself out there with, you better pray to God that you've got a hedge of protection over the weaknesses that you have, because everybody has a weakness. Most of us have more than a couple. Okay? One of the things there is nothing that gets me more steamed and ungodly than when you mess with my kids. I will turn into the devil's sister in about 3 seconds when you're messing with my kids. I mean, it ain't good. But I ain't going to act like I'm the only one like that, because I know y'all. How many of you like that with your kids? The other day, somebody was messing with Carson. I won't go into details because he's 13 and he don't like to be embarrassed. But I seriously considered having a prison ministry. I was just thinking, I don't care if this person is 12. They're messing with my kid. I'm about to get gangster on this 12-year-old. And then I thought, that's really not a good look for me. I mean, how's it going to look when I'm busting on this 12-year-old? But I was telling him, I said, I don't care if I got to go to the football game. I will confront that person. And then later that night when Frank and I were laying in bed, I said, I really sounded psychotic, didn't I? He goes, you really did. You really did, Kelly. You said some stuff that really wasn't good. Okay? You really set a bad example. He goes on and on and on. Dad, I finally said, man, I got to go to bed tonight. If you say too much more, the Ambien ain't even going to help me, okay? I already feel bad. But you need to know what your weaknesses are, because let me tell you something. Put yourself in the devil's shoes. What would the devil like to do to you? It's only three things. How can he do it? If we know that the devil only comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, I want you to take that curtain of your life, pull it over, and look in your life. Search me, O God, and know my anxious thoughts. Search me, O God, know everything about me. God, show me where I'm weak. Show me how the devil could do these three things in my life, because, see, the devil will do it in an instant. How many of you have ever done something, you've said something, you've done something, and it has screwed some things up that still aren't right to this day? Amen. See, in an instant, the devil can do that to you. God wants you to be smarter than the average Joe. What is that called? Wisdom. 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 So it says the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. God desires for you to have a full life. A full life. How do you get the fullness of God? Keep the devil out of your life. And it's not easy. But when you know, how many of you have ever cheated at school? Let's have an honesty poll. How many of you cheated? Okay. All right. Let me just give you a good tip. Yeah, I did it the whole time. I mean, Mom, let me tell you. Math and science were a no. They were just a no-go for me. I did great in English and recess and lunchtime and talking. One of my elementary school teachers, she wrote on my report card, Kelly is the strangest kid I've ever met. She's weird, and I could not figure her out the whole school year. And I always thought, I always kind of felt bad that was the only thing my teacher could say was that I was weird. And now I'm like, you know what? This weirdo has done a lot of amazing things for God. And so if I got to be a little weird to do that, I'm down with that. But one of the things that we have to do to have the fullness of God is we have to be able to renew our mind. What is the best way to renew your mind? The Word. Do you know enough of the Word to, in the spur of the moment, because see, the devil can work instantaneously, so can God, but we're not talking about God today, we're talking about the devil. Do you know enough of the Word that in the spur of the moment, you can renew your mind if you need to? That's a challenge for you. If you don't, you need to get to a point where you do. You need to know that Word, because the thief is coming to steal, to kill, and to destroy. What did Jesus do when he was tempted? He began to speak the Word. He began to speak the Word. When the Spirit said, throw yourself off. Look here. If Jesus himself has to speak the Word, so do you. And you've got to know it to be able to speak it. because we know what the devil's coming to do in our lives. Amen? When you don't feel full, see, the Word of God, it says that they may have life and have it to the full. When we feel, how many of you, there's areas in your life where at times you don't feel full. You don't feel the fullness of God. See, God said, I want my children to be full. Well, when you don't have the full feeling, ask God. Ask Him for it. God, I'm not feeling as patient as I need to be. Lord, I'm not feeling full of love for this person. Lord, I'm this and Lord, I'm that. See, you need to have a conversation with God every day, multiple times a day. Go with me now. We're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 8 through 11. And we're going to look at verse 8 in the King James Version. And it says here, I've learned to hang on every word that the Bible says. Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now the Word of God says, be sober. Be sober. What is the opposite of being sober? Being drunk. Being intoxicated. So one of the things that the devil will do with you, and if the devil, the devil's doing this with people, I would like to say probably every person to a degree, because we let him. The devil will get you drunk on your problems. The Word of God, it says, now be sober and be vigilant, because you have an enemy. Because you have an enemy. Now, there's certain things that I'm going to have to say, and if you're religious, you're not going to like them. That's just how it is. But how many of you, once again, I almost dread saying this because people get so touchy. So touchy. You've been drunk before in your life. Raise your hand. God don't like liars. Okay. All right. Me too. Now, one of the things I never did, and I don't know about y'all, maybe y'all are weirder than me, I never got drunk with my enemies. Maybe y'all have. Drunk and handsome. Be sober and be vigilant, because your enemy, the devil. See, the Word of God tells you to be sober. Be sober. Put yourself in the devil's shoes. These are my little combat boots, and yes, they're blinged out. When I go shopping on Amazon, I type in bling apparel for women. If it ain't got bling on it, I don't want it. We're going to get something flashy. Be sober and be vigilant, because your enemy, the devil, walketh about, or as a roaring lion. I'm going to read it in this translation, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around. How many of you, who's good at impersonations? All right, Brother Sam, come up here. You've won the PCC? Impersonation Award. I love Brother Sam. He has been with me through the best and the worst. I can promise you that. So, Brother Sam, when the Word of God says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around, what does prowling mean?
Sneaking around where you don't see him, ready to prowl.
Give me your best impersonation. If you were prowling, and I know that you know what this looks like, because first of all, you used to be a bum in Chicago. But second of all, now you're a complete success story, and you rent property. So I know that you know what prowling means because you probably witnessed it a lot. Give us your best impersonation of what it would look like if someone was prowling.
You'd see them circling.
Oh, no. You got to do it.
Oh, do it.
Come on, Sambo. Yeah. Keep on going. Sam cheated in school too. Thank you, Brother Sam. Frank, sweetie, let me see your shoes. Now, let me just say, Frank is the complete opposite of bling. He is a plain Jane. Carson's like, oh, God. Everything I own has something flashy about it. Hey, be 61. Be 61. Don't be 13. I have to tell him that all the time. Okay. Now, if I'm the devil and I'm trying to prowl, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put on the most boring shoes that I own, and I don't own boring shoes, as God is my witness. But if I did, these would be them. Now, the Word says, be sober and be vigilant because your adversary, which means your enemy, as a roaring lion. See, if you were prowling around, see, the Word says that the enemy, the devil, prowls around. So if I'm prowling, I'm going to get some very discreet shoes on. Okay? How many of you, if you're going to go rob something in the mud or something, I tell you, I've never robbed anything, but if I did, I would not wear any shoes that I own. I would go get some black boots or something that from Walmart or something somewhere everybody had probably, these boring shoes, and that's what I would go do. And I would be like, I'm going to go prowl around in these boring things because if I wear my flashy ones, everybody's going to know that was me. See, you have an enemy, and he's prowling around in your life. You need to put yourself in his shoes long enough to understand what his tactics are because, see, the Word in Genesis describes the devil as very crafty. Very crafty. Very sneaky. Very prowling. See, we got to preach messages like these because, see, people can relate to a visual. I'm done with these things. But see, the Word says, be sober and be vigilant because you have an enemy, the devil, and he prowls around. You got to watch the Word of God because there's things in it. If you're just reading to read, you're never going to catch certain stuff. But if you'll read to understand, you're going to catch a lot of things. Here's what stands out to me. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. He is not one, but he is an impersonator. He's not one. He's not a lion. Now, the Word describes Jesus as the Lion of Judah, the Prince of Peace. If you're the devil and you're making a play for your life and your soul, where are you hitting you the most? Put yourself in his shoes and see what you'd be doing. If you can't do that, Look at the last 10 really bad mistakes that you've made, and there's your weaknesses right there. Amen. There they are. Like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Anybody ever watch National Geographic? Dad loves those. Those are the most boring thing in the world. And when you know what? When you need to go to take a little nappy poo or go sleepy night-night, if you're Sammy, put that on. It puts you right to sleep. But one of the things that the National Geographic points out almost in every show that they have, when they are talking about a lion or whatever, when they're hunting their prey, what are they hunting? The weakest one. The weakest one. Prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. What I want to ask you tonight is, are you someone that he could devour? Are you that someone? See, and if we say at times we are, and I believe that there's times where we all are, but you need to know what the devil could want to do in your life. And have that hedge of protection around your life. Lord, I see that when it comes to my children, there's a weak spot there. God, when on my really bad days I self-condemn myself, God, that's a weak spot on me, but the devil could get me there. Lord, you know, there's so many things that people could have a weakness for. So many things. Know your weaknesses. Know your weaknesses, because, see, that's going to serve you well to know them. I'm going to move on. Go with me now to Jeremiah chapter 29. This is a famous verse. Famous verse. How many of you love these shoes? I love them. Life is just way too boring to wear boring shoes. Amen. Frank's like, every time you buy a pair of shoes, you need to get rid of a pair. And I'm like, that sounds like the devil to me. That is not of God. Now, how many of you could quote me Jeremiah 29:11? All right, Tommy, stand up and quote it. Very good. Now, we're playing the devil tonight. So, Angel, let me walk you through this. We believe that the Word of God, it tells us that God does have a plan. Do you believe that He does? If we believe that God has a plan, we have to also believe that Satan has what?
A plan.
Exactly. If God has a plan, the devil has a plan. Do you agree? So the Word says here in Jeremiah chapter 29 and 11, it says here, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord." Now, let me tell you something. The devil, he knows the plans that he has prepared for you. He knows them. Where does this fit into your life? What did I say? In the weakest areas. Where are you weak? See, if you can expose your weaknesses to God and to say, God, I know that I'm weak here. What does the Word say? The Word says, when I'm weak, He's strong. God can deal with the truthful person. If you're lying to God and you're saying, God, I don't have this problem, guess what? The devil gets to come in, and he gets to come in there and mess that up. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So if we're going off just the opposite, here's the devil. The devil knows the plans that he has for you. The devil doesn't want you to prosper. And I'm not just talking about money here. There's a lot of other ways that you can prosper or not prosper. And the devil doesn't want you to prosper in any way. And not to harm you. The devil wants to harm you. The devil wants to put harm in your life. Plans to give you hope in the future. The devil don't want you having no hope, and he don't want you having no future. So you have to know, when you're putting yourself in the devil's shoes, these are the pointiest shoes I think I have that I was wanting to deal with today. Don't give the devil a what? Foothold. Now, if I'm opening a door and I'm trying to just ease my way in, I'm going to wear some pointy shoes and I'm just going to put the point right in the door. And if I can get my little toe up into your life, I can slide right on in. Put yourself in the devil's shoes. Where could he have a foothold in your life? Where could he get in? Where could he get in there? Could it be in your emotions? Could it be in your finances? Could it be in your marriages? Could it be in your child raising? Where could it be? Where could the devil get a foothold there with you? Think on that. Think on it. Because if you can come up with something and you know that the devil could get a foothold there, then you know how to pray. Prayer is your biggest weapon. The devil works through condemnation, distraction, unforgiveness, addiction, anxiety, stress, fatigue, disappointment, all of those things, all of those things. Go with me to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to look at verse 21. One of the things that I have noticed as a believer is one of the biggest areas where the devil can mess with you is through the people that you what? Love the most. Why? Because see, not everybody can just get to you. Because you ain't close to everybody. But the people you're close to, you're close to. So Matthew chapter 16, we're going to start at verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Verse 22, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Now here's Jesus, and he's told them, hey, I'm about to be crucified. Here's just what's going to happen in my life. And then Peter has the audacity to take him to the side and just rebuke Jesus. Now let me tell you something. Jesus was the man with the plan. He knew what he came there to do. There's going to be times in your life where everybody's going to be against the very thing that you were destined to do. Peter took him aside and he began to rebuke him and he said, never, Lord. He said, this shall never happen to you. Verse 23, Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, because you are a stumbling block for me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. See, Jesus recognized that the devil was working through someone that he loved. He didn't say, Peter, get behind me. He talked to the devil inside of Peter and he said, now, devil, get behind me because you are a stumbling block for me. He addressed Satan. He didn't call Peter by his name. He called who he knew was working through Peter and he said, now, Peter, get behind me because you're a stumbling block. Devil, get behind me. So many times we'll hate people's guts because of the devil that's working up through their life. This is a challenge for me. It's a challenge to not really not like people. Because when I get my mind made up that I don't like them, I just don't like them. And if I can just be honest about that as a pastor, we'll all have a better time about being honest. Because if I can encourage you to be honest, you're going to have a better time at being honest. When your own pastor stands up and tells lies, that's not good for nobody. The devil can use the people that you're closest to. And he does it all the time. Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You are a stumbling block to me. If I was the devil and I was trying to mess anybody up, and it wouldn't matter who, I would try to put as many stumbling blocks in front of them as I could. I would use their family. I would use their children. I would mess up their finances. I would try to do everything I could do to get them so stressed that they just had a heart attack and died out of pure stress. You know how many people have done that? How many of you've eaten all of your emotions? And you're like, where did this 25 pounds come? Well, it came from the stress of whatever it is you're going through. Now, is anybody worth your 25 extra pounds? I don't think so. It takes a long time to get that off. I mean, it's really good and quick to get it on, but boy, when you're trying to get it off, it's like, wow, why did I eat that? Repeatedly. Go with me now to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read verses 10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. If I'm putting myself in the devil's shoes, I'm scheming on you all day long. I am thinking about how I can mess you up. I am looking at all the people closest to you. I am with you at your job, and I'm going to make you hate that coworker more than you thought you ever could. I'm going to make you sit by Sally Sue in church, and you don't like her either. So that you can stand against the devil's schemes. Verse 12, this is very important for you. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against the person, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. Somebody get me a microphone. Where's my sweet little Alea girl? You're going to wish you would have never known that I never knew that you could do this, because every message that I speak these verses, we're going to have you active, sister. Come up here. Aren't these shoes great? Yeah. If I ever see them in your size, I'm going to get you a pair. Now, we're preaching about the full armor of God, and I know that you know a lot about that. Yeah. I want you to tell them what that is. Now, when you're doing it, you speak loud and you speak proud, because out of everything that I've said in the last 35 minutes, people will remember what you said way more. They're not going to remember these boots. They're not going to remember a lot about anything that Pastor Kel said. They're going to remember the little girl that got up, that's got the word of heart of God hidden in their heart. David said in the Psalms, "Now, Lord, your word have I hidden in my heart that I would not sin against you." If you will get this word and you will put it in your heart. See, what does the Lord tell us to do? Come to me as a child. How would a child approach God? Very boldly. Your kids never hesitate to ask you for something. They want all your money. They want all of everything you got. Now tell us the armor of God. Loud and proud, sister.
Father in heaven, I put the full armor of God on. I put the helmet of salvation on. I put the chestplate of righteousness on. I put the belt of truth on. I shod my feet with the preparation of peace. I pick up my shield of faith. I fasten my sword on my hip. I sharpen the one behind my lips with the word of God, and nothing comes against me because I'm a child of God.
Amen. Thank you, Sissy. I don't know any other kids that can do that. What does that tell me? That tells me that Dwayne trusts God with his children more than he trusts his own self with his children. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, it doesn't say if it comes. It says when it comes. You may be able to stand your ground. See, the devil's going to put on a certain type of shoes to be able to stand very tightly in your life. If you can put yourself in his shoes to think about what would the devil do if he was really trying to mess me up, that's going to help you. So that when the day of trouble comes, you can stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So I've asked you all night, put yourself in the devil's shoes. Now I'm going to ask you to take yourself up out of the devil's shoes because, see, the Word of God says that you were made in His image and in His likeness. He also says that you were fearfully and wonderfully made. What does the Word tell you to put on your feet? Let me read it to you again. And with your feet fitted. How many of you have got a pair of shoes and they just fit your feet better than any other pair you got? I wanted to wear loafers tonight. These are the only ones that don't just really slip around. With your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. What is the devil coming to steal from your life? Your peace. Your peace. If you're in the devil's shoes and you're looking to steal your peace, what are those things that he can steal your peace over? If you can't identify them, it's the thing that makes you a saint and then a cussing, raging maniac the very second, in a split second. I get it. More than you'll ever know. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Which is the Word of God. Which is the Word of God. I'm asking you to get into the Word more than you ever have in your entire life. Why? Because you're going to need it. Because you're going to need it. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Last place for me this evening, Romans chapter 10, verse 13. What do we do? What do we do when we see that the devil has some ways that he can really get to you? A few weeks ago, I began to tell my husband, I said, you know, more than the devil could do anything to me. And I named off a situation in my life. And I said, this is exactly how he would do it. And I said, and because I know that, I'm going to have to totally 100% commit myself to saturate this situation in complete prayer. The Word of God says, pray without ceasing. I tell people, if you've got something that's really concerning you, pray about it as often as you worry about it. Every time you have a thought of worry, replace that with a prayer of faith. Now, the Word of God, it says here, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." In another translation, it says, "Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord." I didn't see this till the other day. This is a promise. God promises that if you call on Him, He'll save you. Whosoever shall, whosoever will. Don't be that Christian that never calls on God. See, it says, for the believer that will, for the Christian that will. Don't let the devil mess with you so much that you're drunk on your problems and you're just drinking and you're intoxicated by all the stuff that's going wrong in your life. Because he will get you drunker than a skunk doing that. And it won't take long. The Word of God says, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Sherry, here's what I know. I've got to do it. The Word says, whoever will, whoever will, whoever will do it. Angel, there's no categories there. It doesn't say just all the perfect people if they'll do it. It said whoever will. Whoever has the guts to call on God, I'm going to save them. From what? Everything that the devil has in store for your life. Y'all stand to your feet. I'm going to ask you to do a little bit of life searching right now. If there's some places in your life and you say, you know what? There's an open door to some areas in my life and the devil could get right in there. And I can see that now. I want you to just begin to, in your heart of hearts, tell God what those things are, what those areas are in your life. Because you know what? Whatever God reveals, God can heal. Whatever you can recognize in your life, and you can call those things out to God, God can save you from those. Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for your word. Lord, I ask right now that you would bring it back to our memory all throughout the week. Lord, help us to live out this sermon. God, Lord, help us to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. I ask that you'd keep us safe. Lord, cause us to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.